What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
2-0 in the preseason.
Over the Super Bowl champs.
Hell of a moment.
You do wonder.
Maybe they got fat on their own essence.
Like, I do wonder about this. Like, is Kevin Stefanski kind of annoyed? Like, we're trying to evaluate our guys, and we just pummeled whatever guys were out there for Philly. Like, did Philly take this seriously at all? Forget about the joint practice part of it. The preseason game. I wonder, like, in the second half, when he's trying to evaluate guys, and Philly is just looking like a hapless organization, and it looks like they don't want to be there. Like, is Kevin still able to get what he wants out of all that work?
I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope he was.
Yeah, I mean...
But it was just so one-sided.
So, do you think, like... I don't think that they're going to all of a sudden think that they're a bunch of world beaters or anything. I think they know that they're still challenged, and it wasn't ones versus ones. If it were versus ones, it'd probably be a little bit of a different story. And most NFL games are tight, so I mean, if you were to end up losing that game 22-19 or something like that, like, oh yeah, you lost a game. Like, that's the way it goes. But it probably would be tight somewhere in there. I mean, yeah, everybody gets a blowout or they get blown out once or twice a year, but most NFL games that you play are tight. I imagine you would pick, if they were ones versus ones in a regular season game, you'd pick Philly to win. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine.
No, they'd be massive favorites if they played in week one.
If you look for the good work that you did, I think both joint practices were advantageous.
Yeah.
And then I think that the preseason game for the backups were advantageous. More on that coming up maybe at 8:21, and certainly with Zach coming up at 9:01 this morning from The Athletic. I think some of the Guardians fans are playing right into your hand. I hate it. Got a lot of hell yesterday and throughout the weekend that the hapless Atlanta Braves come into town and sweep a good Guardians team. And I had like T-Moon Pickens and a couple of people online. Well, wait a minute. I thought you guys said everything was fine. I thought you were going after the fans that were criticizing the Guardians there. And I said, well, and first off, I certainly have stuck up for fans here over these last couple of months. Now, I had to do a flip-flop because I was with you at the beginning of the year, and then things change when new information gets brought to light. But when they play well, and they had played well up until that point, and then this weekend was not a good weekend. My issue was, if you're just hoping that they lose to prove some point, then you're not going to get a point proven because historically their way has been successful. So you might as well hope that they win. I think you can differentiate between the organization's ownership and then the front office and team. I think you can differentiate. And even if you want to, you want to say, nah, Antonetti and Chernoff suck. Okay, fine. I think you could still separate the team between the entire front office. I don't understand. That I'm going to be with you 100% on. I don't think that there's any hopeful losing that should happen. Nobody's going to learn any sort of lesson. So of the things we've disagreed on that, I guess I'm with you on that. So if you were hoping that if you're happy that the Guardians lose so you can win an argument, I'm sorry, you're only playing yourself, my friend. That's the only thing that's going on here.
It was, without a doubt, an abysmal weekend. Following, they had won 9 of 10 series leading to this, but it shows you how little margin of error they have. Because they're still in it, but you know, again, they're behind, what is it, 3.5 games now, the division, they're back to 8.5 when it had gotten all the way down to what, 5.5 or whatever. Yes. So yeah, they're still above 500, but you know, even at home, all these great crowds they've had, basically all season, they've had these great crowds at home, and they are under 500, or they are 500?
They're a 500 team at home.
I mean, that to me is pretty surprising for this team. So you know, just what I noticed watching the Braves this weekend is like, man, the Braves lineup is just so much better than yours. And you got Kwan. Kwan was, you know, back to his old self until he decided, and I saw this was one source of controversy, him laying down the bunt and Stephen Vogt saying that, yeah, he trusts Stephen Kwan to lay down that bunt. Unfortunately, that did not work out.
Boy, that's it. Well, I'm getting a bunch of hell about the bunts, and I'm like, well, we didn't think that Stephen should have went with the bunt, should we have?
No, not in that situation.
I didn't think he should have bunted. Not in that spot.
No.
Rob Manfred did speak yesterday during the Mets Mariners game on ESPN. This is maybe the only fun thing I really like talking about big time baseball on. And he brought up realignment in Major League Baseball.
Expansion, realignment, playoffs. Can you see that down the road?
I can. I think that the first two topics are related in my mind. I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, entities like ESPN, because you'd be playing up out of the East, out of the West, and that 10 o'clock time slot where we, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim,
yes,
would be two West Coast teams. And that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
Audio courtesy of ESPN.
I don't get to hear the beat drop.
Clearly the Millennium Falcon. What was going on?
I was ready.
That was the beat dropping. It was Manfred.
Let me ask you, Ken. Who is...
Steve Aoki.
Give me the people that are asking for expansion. Really in any sport. I know the NBA had talked about it, but now it looks like they've calmed on it. Is anybody looking for expansion in Major League Baseball? Do we need two more teams?
Is expansion a way... If you put a team in Nashville, or you put a team in Charlotte, or you put a team in both, are either of them going to spend to the level of the Dodgers or Mets or Yankees?
No.
Serious question.
No.
Okay, so if no is the answer then, because I was thinking, all right, if you're not going to change your salary cap, salary floor thing, the conversation we've had a million times over the last how many years, and we'll definitely have it a lot coming up after the 2026 season. If you're not going to change that, then that would be the only thought I would have. It's like, well, I guess you add more cities because maybe you have more money to go around. Maybe it's more competitive to go around. Maybe you add another big spending area. But I can't see Nashville or Charlotte being two markets that would spend a lot of money on. Like Portland's been brought up before, which is probably way too close to Seattle. But Portland's been brought up before. Can you see a market like Portland, Oregon, spending to the level of the Dodgers or Yankees? Would it pull down? Would it water it down more for them, which would make things more equitable?
Well, I do think...
I still think the best of the best are still going to be paid by those three
teams. I think Portland
has...
Portland, because, there's no NFL team. I do think they have probably local businesses that would support baseball.
But to the point of Dodgers...
No. Well,
exactly.
No, nobody is going to do that. I guess I'm just wondering, because, there would be probably major realignment. Now, I've said, I'm not married to this division.
Well, I'd love them to realign.
And I would love, truth be told, I'd love for us to be in the same division as Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I think that would be better for the fans. I think it'd be better for the rivalries. But beyond that, what is expansion? What is anybody getting out of expansion? So they would do it to what? They'd get the buy-ins. There would be the expansion fees for the two teams that would get in. What would those expansion fees be? It seems like the average team right now is, in baseball, $1.7, $1.8 billion they're getting sold for.
So, on the average?
Yeah.
Okay.
The most recent. Like, the NBA teams that sold skew everything because it was Boston, Los Angeles, Dallas, and they were...
They're $6 and $7 billion.
Yeah, and they went for such crazy money. If the Cavs were available tomorrow, I don't know, would they...
Be more than two, though.
Yeah, be more than two. Would it be more than three?
Maybe four.
Okay, but still way more
than
baseball.
That's probably the peak, though.
If the Guardians got sold tomorrow, it'd be like 1.7. So, how would it benefit the rest of baseball? What kind of new TV deal would they be able to sign? Because it still seems like baseball's biggest problem is going to be the local TV money that is completely dried up in 80% of the markets.
But maybe that... I guess it's more pieces of the pie for the national TV.
Sure.
As it comes out of my mouth, I don't know how that's going to work.
That's true, but then the CBA after that. After the influx of money, though, if they can broker a new TV deal, all right, there's new money. Problem is, going forward, you're dividing it by 32 teams. But exactly, two-team expansion.
Isn't that just the same case that Ohio State goes through? Like, why does these other, why does Maryland get the same amount of money I do? Like, if you were the Yankees or Dodgers or Mets, okay, the Pirates and Guardians and so on and so forth have been around for 100 years. That's fine. Why does Nashville get the same cut I do?
Well,
why does Charlotte get the same cut I do?
Why would a Clevelander want the Dodgers to get the same cut that they're getting, right?
Well, now there'd still be the haves, exactly, where the have-nots.
Yeah, I think that's another good point
as well.
There's
still an element of revenue
sharing, a luxury tax,
that the Guardians take advantage of and a lot of the small market owners. Right. I'll just say the owners that are not spending money. We'll just put it that way, whether you want to call it small market, mid-market. Regardless of that, do you also want two more teams to battle with for a World Series? Like, it's just what fans are asking for this. I've never heard a fan say, I want baseball to expand. Never heard it. And does anybody want
that live in AAA towns that want to be major league towns, right? But that fan base is not near what, you know, the current standing major league fan base is.
No, I totally
agree. Do you want
expansion
in any sport? Does anybody want NFL expansion?
I'm really good on anything. I'm really good on any league expanding.
I mean, if anything, I think fans, if you were to poll, they'd say contraction.
I think there's one city in America that everyone would agree that gets an expansion team, and that is Seattle and a basketball team, and that's about it.
That's about it.
And there should be. Yeah, there should be a basketball team in Seattle.
But that's the only place where people are passionately like wanting an expansion. Yeah. That's Seattle. You're absolutely right. And if they were doing realignment, I hate to everything to follow the NFL. I don't want the NFL to just lead everything. I want the other sports to have something that's special to them. But, man, I could just do without Kansas City and Minnesota in the division. That's never moved me. It never will move me. I can't see it ever doing it. Detroit, yeah, man, makes sense. You're right around the corner there on the lake. Fine, that makes sense. I would love Pittsburgh and Cincinnati to be in it. I know that would feel like an NFL type of thing. But
is it sad?
I would love Pittsburgh and Cincinnati
to be in it. What about the White Sox? Because, and I was confronted with this situation, like, I'd rather go to Wrigley and watch the Cubs play anybody than go to the White Sox and watch them play the Guardians.
I'd rather
go to Wrigley. It's just a better use of my... I can go see the Guardians anytime I want here. I'd rather go to Wrigley. Wrigley is the superstar there.
I'd rather go to Wrigley and watch high school baseball than go to where the White Sox play to watch Major League Baseball.
I'm just telling you, I'd rather see contraction in these sports than expansion.
You and I drove by that stadium, it looks like a giant U-Haul warehouse. Like, that's all it looks like to me. And then you go to Wrigley, it's like, we're on a train. We're on an elevated train. We're in the middle of this neighborhood. It's like a carnival going on every single day of the week. It's like, this is amazing. This is amazing. But the other one looks like a giant cubicle.
Oh, there's a lot going on down there by that stadium.
I am thoroughly entertained. Let's welcome in, brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
All right, what say you, buddy? I've been waiting since Saturday night, and I got you right where I want you. You going to start kissing ass? You going to start apologizing? What you going to do, Daryl? You going to double down? You can always double down if you want. Do that.
There's a first for everything. That was the first time he looked like an NFL quarterback wearing a Browns uniform.
Everybody,
nice change of pace. Ooh. Not gonna lie, it was good to see.
Oh boy,
it was good to see.
Nice.
Darryl Pick Ryder. Six wasn't great, fumble wasn't great, but the rest of it was pretty good, especially on third down. I gotta give credit where credit is due.
I didn't like the pick six either, but I go, you got Blake Whitehart basically standing right next to Deontay Johnson, and neither guy knew what the hell to do when the ball came there. So I'm like, well, somebody's got to catch it. I just don't think they should have been standing next to each other. And so we got to have a discussion about spacing here today. Not you and me, but they do. So I thought he was pretty good. And I'm going, oh boy. And I'm telling you right now, man, I was at Streetsboro City Park on Saturday, and I had people coming up, hand to God, if I'm lying, I'm dying, and I ain't dead yet. People coming up to me saying, what are you going to say to Daryl on Monday? I got something special for Daryl's ass on Monday. I'll tell you that right now. Go ahead, Daryl.
Glad to be an entertainer.
You are. You are an entertaining fella.
Well, what do you have as a takeaway from the Gabriel experience? Because, you know, people were going after you on social media. I'm like, it wasn't just Daryl. Basically, everybody said Dylan Gabriel, that's been covering the Browns a long time, said that was as bad as a pre- you know, training camp performance as you could see, not just one day. We're talking about everything in totality.
Right.
So I did make the case Friday. I'm like, well, he could also have a good game. I mean, guy was really good in college and stepped up on the biggest stages in college against some of the biggest teams. It's not like he didn't have it in him. So what was your overall takeaway?
Well, my overall takeaway was that he operated the offense exactly the way Kevin Stefanski designed it to be operated. There was a lot of dink and dunk down the field. It's not like he was unloading 50-yard bombs, down the field. That just wasn't happening. But he was very efficient. That opening drive was a thing of beauty to watch, the way he marched them right down the field, and they put 7 points on the board, which is what you want to open a game. And again, I think Kevin Stefanski, if only they could end games after the opening drives, the Browns might have a couple of Vince Lombardi trophies in the case. But I'm giving Dylan Gabriel credit where credit is due. He played well outside of two plays the other night. So give him credit for that. I thought he played extremely well on third down, which is not something we're used to seeing here in Cleveland. Quarterbacks converting on third down. He converted, I think, 5 of those. He's not going to win the starting job. That's going to be Joe Flacco. But I have to give him credit because my takeaway from that game is, where has that guy been all offseason? Because that's not the guy I've been watching at practice. So maybe he's a game quarterback and he's not a practice quarterback, but Browns fans should probably feel a little more relaxed after seeing what they did Saturday.
Well,
don't
make me feel any better there, Daryl. Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. It don't make me feel better. Let me tell you this. The reason it doesn't make me feel any better is because, Daryl, if he's a game quarterback, I didn't take him at all, but they didn't take him because he's a game quarterback. Like, they liked his smarts, whiteboard, all this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, that's not a gamer. A gamer is a guy who's like, you can't reach him during practice, and they're confused. It's like, well, he's a hell of an athlete. We're going to put him on the field, and we're going to see it. And then he just lights it up.
Right.
And I don't get that with Dylan Gabriel. So I guess during the regular season at some point, because he ain't going to get cut, I guess during the regular season we're going to see the difference between preseason coverage and regular season coverage when he does get a chance to play.
100%. And same thing goes for Shedeur Sanders as well.
Of course.
I am convinced we will see Dylan Gabriel start games for the Browns this season. Why? Well, Jimmy Haslam made that very clear a couple of weeks ago when he said Kevin Stefanski understands the assignment this year.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Got to see the rookies and see what they can do. And from my standpoint, if we're seeing the rookies and trying to see what they can do at some point this season, well, we all know how things have gone, right? And that means not very well. So if we don't see the rookies, then that means things are going well. And I anticipate we'll see Dylan Gabriel at some point. We'll see if he can do it against a number one defense. We'll see how he handles the pressure. Does he handle it as well as he did Saturday afternoon? Is he able to continue to get the ball out on time? But what I'd like to see is the next time he takes the field, which will probably be this weekend against the Rams, I want to see some shots deep down the field. I want to see some shots 25 yards plus down the field and see what that looks like. Because I do feel like that, he played intelligently. He took what he was being given out there, and he got the ball out quickly. He, operated the offense efficiently. There weren't any hiccups in that regard. So, again, I give the young man the credit where it's due, but that is not the quarterback I had been watching all offseason and through training camp. So, hopefully what we saw Saturday is a sign of good things to come from Dylan Gabriel.
So what does your depth chart look like?
Well, my depth chart's pretty much unchanged. I still think that it's Joe Flacco who will be named the starting quarterback either tomorrow or later this week. I have Kenny Pickett as the number 2, Dylan Gabriel number 3, Shedeur Sanders firmly entrenched in that number 4 spot.
So the Kenny Pickett part of this is where we move to next. We're joined by Daryl Ryder right now, our Browns beat reporter. So they're hopeful, at least Stefanski used the term hopeful, that Pickett will be able to go this week. But what are we doing with him if that's just not going to be the reality?
Well, look, I think that, you know, they're going to need all four of these quarterbacks this year. I think that's the reality. There are folks that believe that Kenny Pickett all of a sudden now is expendable because of the way Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel played in their preseason debuts. And let's have some context here. They weren't going against starting defenses, all right? It's preseason football. We've had many Super Bowl champion preseason players, okay, come through here, including quarterbacks. So, like, let's not get too carried away here. Let's give them credit. They both played well, but also there were some red flags for both guys, and, you know, that's certainly understandable. They're, you know, new to the NFL. But, you know, I don't think that Kenny Pickett's expendable. I really don't. I mean, the Browns, on average, and I'm not being a smart aleck here, this is real. On average, the Cleveland Browns need no less than three quarterbacks to get through a regular season. Okay? In recent years,
I'll take the over.
Yeah, I mean, in recent years, they've needed four and five to get through the schedule. So I don't feel like Kenny Pickett is expendable. I don't think that that is a luxury that all of a sudden the Browns have just because we got to see you know, some positive results from a couple of mid to late round quarterback draft picks.
I mean, I'm taking the over because we have six here in training camp if you count Deshaun Watson.
Well, I mentioned on my show yesterday, I'm not ruling out Deshaun either. I mean, the way things go for this franchise, I don't know necessarily if they want to put him on the field this year, but the way things go with this franchise, circumstances might dictate that they have to put him on the field at some point come December. So I think you guys asked me on Friday about that, and I said, never say never. These are the Browns. Never say never when it comes to Deshaun Watson putting on that uniform again and playing football here in Cleveland.
But Daryl, just in general, seeing what they did to the Eagles, I know it's a preseason game, 331 yards to 88, not to mention the fact that they more than held their own in joint practice. Do you think there should be some good takeaways, some feel-good vibes coming out of this experience this week?
Yeah, I do. You know, they went in to Philadelphia against the defending Super Bowl champs and, quite frankly, held their own. And we've talked about this. These joint practices historically have foreshadowed what was to come in the regular season, both positively and negatively. I mean, especially last year, when Vikings came in here and slapped the Browns around for a couple of days. Deshaun Watson looked completely lost. The offensive line couldn't even line up properly. So, and then what happened, right? Deshaun Watson looked lost in the regular season. The offensive line could never line up properly. Like, it tends to telegraph things to come. So the fact that, you know, Joe Flacco played well in like the 2 minute and was able to, you know, throw some touchdown passes. The fact that the defensive line looks so incredibly dominant and going against the Eagles offensive line, which I would argue is one of the better offensive lines in the National Football League. Like, those are massive, massive wins and positives for the Browns. And I got to be honest with you, makes me feel a little more optimistic about the season to come. And maybe this team is going to be a little better than people like myself, the entertainers, are giving them credit for or projecting them to be.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. All right, Daryl, with some other... Well, so did you think the original comments by Dylan, just to make sure, you didn't think they were about Shedeur Sanders?
Oh, absolutely not. I totally...
Oh, amazing, Lima. Amazing.
I absolutely thought that those comments were directed at people like me, who have been critical of Dylan. And no, I did not. And so, watch the game at the studio Saturday, sitting in the newsroom. I got shown the quote because the quote is what went out. I said, I need to see the video. I need to see the question that's asked, because anyone can parse a quote and make it be whatever you want it to be. And I really felt like that some national accounts really did Dylan Gabriel dirty. And I defended Dylan yesterday on my show. Ooh. I think they did him dirty to trying to make it sound like he was taking a shot at Shedeur Sanders when absolutely the context was not included and it was not a shot. And then he came out after the game and explained to the folks in the room, you guys are the entertainers. I'm the competitor. And I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know that we're all entertainers, and especially folks that cover the Browns day to day. Some of us do a little bit of both, like myself, but I did not. Once I saw the complete video with Aditi's question, I did not believe that that was Shedeur Sanders catching a stray from Dylan at all.
All right, Daryl, there is other news, and I've been teasing this all morning for you, so I have to ask you. Jordan Schultz says Browns are interested in Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
Is there any chance, at all the Browns do trade for Trey Hendrickson?
Dylan Gabriel will be holding up the Vince Lombardi trophy as the starting quarterback and Super Bowl MVP for the Cleveland Browns before Trey Hendrickson is a Cleveland Brown.
Wow.
I mean, think about it. The Browns and Megals never do business. I mean, there was the one instance where, thankfully someone pulled the plug on the fax machine, right, a couple years ago to make sure the trade didn't go through. But, like, Browns and Bengals don't do business. If the reporting is accurate, which I have no reason to believe otherwise, because the Bengals want out there what they want in return for Hendrickson. Okay, so what are you giving up to get him? You can't trade Myles Garrett. You just got a new contract. Salary cap pick. Denzel Ward really is the only other quote-unquote impact player that I think the Bengals would even consider. I'm guessing you'd have to give up both your first-round picks next year. So, okay, great. You'd have Trey Hendrickson here, but you still have – you're in the same boat. You are going nowhere until you find a franchise quarterback. Right now the Browns have the ammunition to potentially put themselves in a position to find that. But, I don't see Trey Hendrickson having much of a shot to become a Cleveland Brown, no matter what Andrew Berry offers the Bengals. Because, again, these two franchises, they do not conduct business together.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you Friday.
You betcha, guys. Keep entertaining the folks.
Listen to Daryl taking his medicine like a man. How about that?
You feel better about what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Kevin. It's kind of two for two.
When it comes to
quarterbacks in the preseason. I mean, they were both, like, Dylan Gabriel was pretty good. Shedeur Sanders was pretty good. Kind of two for two. Is he not?
Fine. Yeah, I'll give him some preseason
okay,
love.
Well, great deep conversations we're having here. This is excellent. I mean...
I have to give Sirianni for what happened this week?
Okay, I think we're knowing that they're in two different situations. Well, I don't know. Sirianni's job always seems to be on the line, so... Then maybe I'll back off of that for a second, but I mean, come on, Tone. I mean, you know, there's an opportunity there when we talk about these quarterbacks and Kevin Stefanski, where not an opportunity, a conversation. Because I think some people, I wonder what the end all be all is going to be if people think either Kevin's A, not doing what's right by the players that Andrew Berry picks, or B, Andrew Berry's not doing right, or the front office isn't doing right by Kevin Stefanski. And it might not even be an Andrew Berry. I mean, don't forget, I haven't forgotten about the guy in San Diego, that's for sure. So it might not even be Andrew. Could be the Wizard of Oz out there that we could be thinking about. But Kevin's come under heavy scrutiny. And for good or bad, there's people who can't believe, there's people who dare question Kevin. And then there's people who can't believe that people would stick up for Kevin when this football team is under 500 and they have not looked good. And last year was an unmitigated disaster. Planning-wise, team-wise, everything. An unmitigated disaster. And that's supposed to fall under the head coach. And so now you've got these two quarterbacks. Okay, one, what was my big thing about Shedeur? Because I did. I said it on that Friday morning. I said, this is going to look like a referendum for a lot of people with Kevin Stefanski, even with myself. And... Shador, they ran plays that made sense to him. He looked good. Some of that certainly given to Shador. Some of that certainly should be given to the guy with the game plan. Because every single time it seems that Kevin has been the play caller, it's worked to some level, has it not? Like he's been the play caller for most, but when there seems to be a system that they're following him, it's been pretty decent, pretty successful. Dylan Gabriel seemed to be a big brain Kevin pick, and throughout this preseason, throughout this camp, there were a lot of people going, "Man, this guy, you know, look like he's got it." I know we bagged on Daryl. Daryl can take it. Daryl's fun. But damn, there's a lot of people question what Dylan Gabriel has or doesn't have, in so many words. And damn, they showed up. He played pretty well on Saturday. Give a couple of plays. And by the way, I thought the screen attempt was way worse than the pick six, but whatever. Results are results.
Oh, wait, do we get a final determination on the pick six? Because I've watched it a bunch of times throughout, because people say stop making excuses for the pick six. And I think you and I saw the exact same thing. I mean, you had a guy out there that could have just put his arms out for the ball and just kind of short-armed it, because I think he was like, oh, that's not to me. Where, yeah, you could say he could either at the very least prevent the interception, right?
Yeah.
Like Blake made no attempt to try to catch that football.
I don't even know if he knew it was coming, which would not be very good for Dylan Gabriel in that sense. But hey, you're out there. Shouldn't you know it? Because I think he thought he was throwing it to Deontay Johnson.
I think he did too.
And Deontay Johnson might have thought he was throwing it to Blake Whitehart and ended up getting intercepted by their second round pick.
I'm guessing
and then
that,
he took it the other way.
I'm also guessing that wasn't the play to have two guys run to within a foot of the ball.
No.
Oh, well, you're in luck. I have some Kevin Stefanski audio from yesterday. It might clear it up.
We did not do what we were supposed to do on that play, and we will get that coached up. Like I mentioned to you guys yesterday, you really should never have an interception on a play like that. It should be a safe throwaway run. We have to do a better job of coaching that and executing that.
Oh, he just got put. Deontay Johnson just got pushed off the spot.
Yeah, I thought where he was going with that at the start of his answer was to say, hey, it was fine by the quarterback. Those guys didn't do their job. But then by the end of it, I'm like, or is he saying you can't throw that ball?
Well, I don't know. Let's listen again.
We did not do what we were supposed to do on that play, and we will get that coached up. Like I mentioned to you guys yesterday, you really should never have an interception on a play like that. It should be a safe throwaway run. We have to do a better job of coaching that and executing that.
When he said throw away, I was like, oh, I thought that was leading to say, hey, our receivers, they're not in the right spot. Or like you said, Deontay Johnson, what are you doing not being physical enough there? Or Blake, which I don't know if he was absolving him, didn't even attempt either a breakup or, like you said, Ken, it didn't even look like he knew that ball was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Is he coached to throw the ball to a spot there? These are the times to get that linked up. Like, I do laugh at people losing their minds on a preseason thing where it's like, all right, now he has something to coach. Now he can go over that play for 20 minutes if he so chose. That's what these things are for. But it just also works out that we have a quarterback competition for like two different spots. One for the starter, one for the backup.
We didn't even get to have a competition for the starter because the one guy's got hurt.
I know.
And now I'm not even having to make the team if that were to be the way. I mean, hell, when they went and they got Brock Osweiler, did you think Brock Osweiler was going to start the season? What happened with Brock Osweiler by the end of camp? Gone. So it's not like it hasn't been happened before. I don't know if I'd condone it the entire way. Sorry, I'm talking about something different. You understand.
No, I totally understand.
But when it, again, back to Kevin, I'm looking for, because it, when you're going into year six and you're coming off of 3-14, it doesn't happen a lot in the NFL where you get to keep your job. So I got to figure out ways why there's brilliance there, or there's said there's brilliance there. Because I think every single host on this station and every single fan out there has been at times liked Kevin and has been fit to be tied with Kevin. Clearly there was the instance with me and I was very upset right before or right after the Baltimore Ravens game where Dorian Thompson Robinson had to play. I was clearly upset about that. But there's been times where I've been okay. Kevin's making a lot of sense. There's a lot of things here that are good.
You have four different quarterbacks win games or three quarterbacks win games the year they go to the playoffs.
Four.
Like he has had, to me, some incredibly one coach of the year. I mean, obviously we weren't alone.
Hey, guys PJ Walker and Dorian Thompson Robinson.
PJ Walker against the 49ers.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, Kevin has been able to tap in. It's also where I wonder why they had Gabriel ahead of Sanders, because Sanders, he had to, it was out of necessity, but had to do freelancing and stuff in college. Gabriel was one read go. And you wonder, after watching Deshaun Watson the last few years, kind of makes sense that Kevin Stefanski would be more comfortable with, here's who to throw to on this play, and you must throw to that person on this play.
I think it's easier to defend Dylan Gabriel than it is to Shador Sanders. Because anytime you defend Shador Sanders and what he did in college, everybody just thinks you're kissing ass. And I go, no, you had guys coming in the spring, and then you had guys leave, and then you had guys coming in the fall for fall camp. So you're throwing to guys who you've worked with for 30 days. 30 days. And you're expected to go out there and win football games. And you're right. There was a lot of stuff where he had to go out there and kind of create. Where Dylan Gabriel, that offense, Oregon is a powerhouse. That offense is built in. It's been built in for a long time, whether it's Dan Lanning or Chip Kelly or anybody who was running that football team. Like, it's built into what they want to do. So I appreciate what Dylan Gabriel has done. That's why I don't want to get rid of either of them. I appreciate Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel and Joe Flacco. And when it comes to the fourth one, buddy, I haven't seen you. So maybe there's a chance on Saturday where he can change minds. And then it can become more difficult after Saturday's game about who to keep and who to let go.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.